I'm sorry, man. I was thinking, I was texting in Facebook chat, and in my mind, I was texting on Skype trying to get Rich's attention. And I just like, well, everybody's here. I guess it's going to be here.
I heard the half of that because apparently my Skype, when it updated, it changed the output speakers to my actual speakers, which are all muted. So I was like, why can't I hear anything?
Oh, I was talking.
So now we can't get Rich.
No, what I said was, I was talking to Rich and see if he was going to join us because he was yellow. And on the Facebook chat, and in my mind, I guess I thought you were already on Skype, and I was thinking I had already talked to you or said yes or yeah, you're ready to go, and just woo, it's one of those days.
Like, what the hell's going on? He didn't even say hello or anything. I'm like, what's going on? I was about to type hello, and then it's already calling. I'm like, what? I'm not ready.
And I don't know now. I know Corey said he had to change the weekend, but I know he said he was going to make it this week.
Yeah, he said it wouldn't affect this weekend. So, I don't know.
And he hasn't answered me yet. So, and he's not
online. Corey is the least chatty in the chat.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Oh, Rich is here. Okay, cool.
Yeah, sorry, guys. It was acting weird. It's because I got two... I have a Skype for the other show and then a Skype for my personal stuff. So my personal one kept crashing.
Well, I mean, you know, that's just Microsoft products.
It is.
Microsoft sucks.
It does.
Okay. Let me
do you still have a Windows phone?
Yes, I do. Jesus. I love it. Wow. I got an Alcatel. I got an Idle S.
I would love it if it had apps.
Dude, you know what's
funny? I love the interface. I love the OS.
Here's the thing, man. All the apps I used, I only use like the major ones. I use Twitter.
Are you eating?
No, that's Mark.
It's not me. I'm not eating.
Is Mark feeding you like a baby bird? Because it's coming from your mouth.
Thanks, Mark.
No.
I can't do this anymore. I fucked everything up today.
Sorry, it's my fault. This is that weird.
I done confused the shit out of Mark. I didn't say hi to him. I just called him out of the blue. He didn't even have his headset on. Nothing.
I was like, what is going on? What in the world is happening here?
Oh, it's going to be a great show.
At least we actually have games to talk about. So.
We do.
I have one.
Hey, better than 90% of the time you come on this show.
And it's an actual new game. That's not an indie game that I get from a publisher, and then I'm like, cool, I got this new game, but it sucks.
Anyway, I guess we should start the show. Welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I'm your host, Henderson Mann. And obviously, you know who's with us, because you've probably listened, because I'm sure Mark won't cut the top of this off, because it's comedy
gold.
Mark might
throw it at the end.
Mark's done feeding me. I'm good.
Rich and
By
Mark.
By feeding him, he means throwing up in his mouth.
Like a baby bird.
I don't even want to talk anymore. This is gross. This is so gross. Sorry for... the delay of this show, 2 weeks ago, I was running D&D at a conference, and it kind of snuck up on me, and I kind of just mentioned it kind of offhand at the end of the last episode we did, and I was kind of like, oh, yeah, I won't be here.
So, yeah, I didn't remember until I was like, hey, so who's making it? And you're like, well, I'm not. I'm like, oh, then I guess we're not doing a show.
So, that was a great experience. I ran... I was only supposed to run two games, one game on Saturday and one game on Sunday. And like 2 days beforehand, the guy that kind of puts the games together for the con is like, I got a guy who's sick and cannot do two games. Is there anybody that can do the slot? And then basically the two slots before mine. And I was like, I can do Sunday, but you'll have to find somebody else to do Saturday. And then like I waited an hour and nobody responded. And I'm like, motherfucker. I was like, fine, I'll do the both of them. And it was Evil Con in Evansville, Indiana, which is an anime convention. And so basically it was so packed at this convention center that I had to park about a half a mile away, walk there carrying like a computer, two book bags full of D&D books that weighed about 40 pounds. It was not a pleasant experience. But when I got there, it was all worth it. Basically, they set me up in my own little game room, had its own private bathroom, which is an amazing thing to have at a convention if you've ever been to any kind of convention. So it was great. I had one couple and another guy stayed and played all four of my games, even getting up at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning and joining me to play the game we were running. So it was really nice to have that kind of experience at a con like that, because I've never ran like games back to back to back to back. So, but it was a pleasant experience. Also, I just wanted to say that we are going to be changing the weekends that we do this show, and so we're probably going to try to come back next week if we got something to talk about. And then after that, it'll be every 2 weeks again. It just all depends. Corey has gotten a new job, and me and him don't have the same weekend off, but it's easier because what time I go in for us to do the show on the weekend he's off and the weekend I work. So that's what's going to happen. So it really won't be that big of a difference for you. You just might have to...
Nobody's going to notice.
Nobody will notice. So, yeah.
Because we have such a weird schedule. It's just like, oh, well, I guess we're not having a show this weekend. And then it's a month.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's talk about some things. So the details for Project Scorpio leaked, not leaked this week. They were released by, was it Digital Foundry through Eurogamer, or was it?
Probably, because I know they have a partnership, but they do a lot of videos together and upload the same video and whatnot.
So they released the stats and the tech and the system, and it looks pretty good. I do now worry about the cost, though.
I don't worry about it because I'm not getting it.
Why do you say that, Rich?
Because I already have an Xbox. You know, I mean, I guess I'm not the target. I mean, you know what?
You are the target. You're a Microsoft fanboy.
I am. 10 years ago, I'm a Microsoft fanboy with kids. So I'm not getting it.
He says that now.
Yeah.
But I think it also, I mean, if it did come out at 400... Which people are assuming at this point. I don't believe you. When you see how good Forza looks on it.
Dude, honestly, I've never been a graphics whore. I'm all about the gameplay, man.
Well, when they tell you you can only play Forza 7 on the Scorpio, and then you can only play Crackdown on the Scorpio.
They're not, so I'm not interested. I'm good with what I got.
I'm interested, depending on the price point now.
You're Rob, and you just buy everything pretty much. Unless it, like, I know that if it's over 500, you won't get it. But I think if it's over 500, what the fuck are they doing? There are people who are like, I'll be surprised if it's even 500. I'm like, are you out of your mind? You think people are going to pay that much?
People didn't
pay 500 for the Xbox One, and that was because it caught, you know, that also included the Kinect. They're going to pay $500 just for this? I mean, $600? No, they're not.
Well, let's look over some of the key things about it. I know it's got 12...
It definitely should not come with an Elite controller.
No, God, no. Please don't do that.
I think that controller is amazing, but there's no reason to add to the cost by doing that. And I think there should be, whether it's just... I've heard this mentioned only once on another podcast, and I've been thinking this for a while now when they do these reiterations, but whether it's just directly through the actual, like, Microsoft or Sony, when they come out with these new versions of their consoles, come out with a version that is $50 cheaper without any controller. Because if I'm somebody who wants to double dip, I don't need another controller.
You know what?
I would rather spend that $50 on a game or something.
You know what? That's something else. Maybe this thing won't come with a controller.
Well, there will have to be a SKU with one for people who don't.
Well, I bet there's a SKU that comes with that and an Elite controller. I can see that.
Honestly, they're hoping to increase their fan base.
They will not have just a SKU without a controller at all, and then a SKU with an Elite controller, unless they just want to fail. I don't know.
Yeah, it's got to have a controller. I mean, they're trying to build their user base, right?
Well, so I guess that's true. They want people.
You're not going to sell something without a controller, dude.
But we've got
$500 is the max. That's the ceiling. It cannot be over 500. And I think 500 is too much. Yeah, not to say it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I haven't looked at all the details because I don't really care either. But no matter what is in the box, price is what matters to people. And it's what gets people to pull the trigger. 400 is that key spot, you know.
Right. It's the concept they keep saying it's going to be a premium console, and that kind of has me worried because premium things really come at a premium price, and Microsoft has done some crazy things with price. So
it's all done things.
So I'm hoping it's going to be $500 or less. I'm really hoping for 400.
But and also, they have to keep in mind, like, how much they want to push the thing, because also, at that point in time, you know, you'll have... They haven't announced a release date, have they?
No.
Okay. Well, likely, you know, around Black Friday, maybe a little bit before, you will also be having really cheap deals for the Xbox One S. Mm-hmm. You know, if people can get an Xbox One S for $200 and then they see this $500 Xbox One, what is the reason for them to get that?
Yeah.
It's going to be a hard sell. And they might not care because either way they'll be selling an Xbox One. But at the same time, there needs to be a reason for people to buy this. Yeah. And for it not to be that drastic of a difference, because with the PlayStation Pro and the PlayStation Slim or whatever the hell they call it, I don't know if it's just the PlayStation, right? Slim is just called the PlayStation 4 now.
Yeah.
That's just a $100 difference.
Right.
So I think it's a $100 difference package with the game, and the Pro doesn't have a bundle game as this
I think you're right. I think it's like $100 and it doesn't come with any game.
They recently done one with Resident Evil 7, or is that with well, I don't know.
I haven't paid too much attention to PlayStation Pro. I keep thinking about trading in my PS4 to get a Pro, but it's just I don't know. I want one now because I've got a 4K TV.
I guess that it would be okay for you because you primarily game. Like for me, I watch a lot of videos and I would like it for video, which the Xbox One is better in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't think it's either is really that worth it.
How much I've played my PS4 in the last month. And I mean,
you're using it. That's good. I mean, it's a purchase.
I'm actually like, this is the time I'm like, you know what? I would have missed out on a lot of great games if I didn't have this PS4 right now. And what's sad is I really want to get back to Horizon Zero Dawn, but I also want to play that when there's nothing else to take my attention away from it. And I feel like Zelda kind of knocked that out of the park for right now. But I've been playing Persona and Nier, and I'm just like, I'm like, man, this is a lot of fun. And also, it has made me infinitely sad about the exclusives on Microsoft just not being there right now. And
yeah, I said this on Facebook. The exclusives the PlayStation has, while there's a lot of them and a lot of great ones, the majority of them are all niche products. And they're geared towards the Japanese market from Japanese developers, and that's why they're on PlayStation, because Xbox is as good as dead, if not already dead,
in Japan.
Right. In Japan and the Eastern markets. So the reason, you know, I'm not as upset that these exclusives are not on Xbox One, because it makes perfect sense why they're not. There's just no market for them. And, you know, they're not going to sell that well here. You know, I mean, Persona 5 may, you know, it'll do probably better than the last one, probably. But it's not going to sell gangbusters. Because Nier is not going to sell crazy.
Yeah.
Yakuza 0 is not going to sell crazy here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tales of whatever the hell the new one is that came out this year. They're great games, but they're niche games. They're games for specific audiences that aren't that big.
Right.
Well, I mean, Nier and Persona 5 have already sold over 1 million copies. I mean, Persona 5 sold 1.5 million already.
But in the U.S.?
Huh?
in the U.S.?
I think it's
I don't believe.
I don't believe it either.
Especially for Nier.
Yeah.
Nier sold a million. I know that. I don't know if that's worldwide or whatever. But, I mean, you also got...
The last time I checked the numbers, they weren't that. But also, I mean, even if it's a million, that's still a million out of, what, 45 million consoles in the U.S.?
Well, yeah, I know. I think the other thing that we got to take into consideration, it wasn't that long ago when we were talking about how the PlayStation 4 has no exclusives, and Microsoft had all these exclusives coming out. Like, was it last fall? And it's like it was last holiday. Like, what, Bloodborne was the only, like, exclusive.
Oh, that was back in February of last year.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and everyone was just, like, crying about, there's no exclusives for the PS4, what the hell?
Yeah, but then when the Microsoft exclusives came out, they were all shit.
Yeah, no, they weren't all shit.
Halo 5, shit. Gears of War,
no,
shit.
No,
that's in your opinion, shit. Okay?
Yeah, that,
so just shut the fuck up.
No.
People can call Persona 5 shit. They can call
exactly.
Shit.
Exactly. Cause in fact, I mean, I think both of those have a little more crossover.
I didn't like Bloodborne. Bloodborne shit.
Or, I mean, granted, I am buying Persona 5 on the PS3, though. But
well, guess what? It's going to look the same way.
Yeah,
it is. It does. I noticed that.
I'm not entirely certain, but I'm pretty sure it's using the Catherine engine because it looks exactly like Catherine, which is not a bad thing.
No.
It's just, you know. It's
yeah, there's certain things you look at that game, like the LeBlanc's Cafe. I'm like, wow, this looks a lot like the assets they used for Catherine's Cafe or whatever.
A lot of the aesthetics, the way there's like this little highlight glow to the character models and just their overall design and everything, which I really like. I love the look of Catherine. I love Catherine.
Yeah, I mean, I love Persona. I mean, but I realize what it is. I mean, it's not a mass market game as far as I'm concerned.
Well, no. Nier sold a million copies. However, the caveat to that is, and this is just in the U.S., it's also on PC. So...
Right.
There you go.
But
and you never know what the split is, because we can never find out what PC sales are for anything.
Right.
Because Steam will never say a damn thing.
But
developers like it that way.
For Nier Automata to sell like that, though, that's still pretty good, because that game was very niche when it came out last time and did not do very well. So...
Well, because it wasn't very good. It wasn't mechanically as good a game.
I mean, it was a weird. I mean, it was like Deadly Premonition in that, like, it's not mechanically that great or sound, but there's a lot of interesting things about the story.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember the first time I booted it up, and you have that like intro thing where you just hear the woman talking to the book. I'm like, what the hell am I listening to?
God damn
what is
it!
This? It was amazing. The game, I'm glad that game exists for that alone.
Yeah.
Just like I'm so glad Rogue Warrior exists for that end credits rap song by Mickey Rourke.
It's funny because I kept...
I forgot about that.
Nier is one of the first... It was one of the only few games I kept that I had on the Xbox 360 that I didn't give away. I got like... I kept like 20 games, and that was like one of them. Because I'm like, I might go back to that someday. I'm never going back to that. But it's there. If I ever want
to. I've thought about going back to it.
I thought about getting it again. I'm waiting for it to come on the bat compat list, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm waiting for everything to do that.
That might convince me. But then again, you know, the developers got to sign off on that, and they may not decide to sign off on it just because, you know, why bring attention to the game not being on the new one being on this? Who knows? But Project Scorpio, so, you know, it's.
I mean, honestly, it's not for me per se, but I mean, I think it's something Microsoft had to do just to stay in the conversation with PlayStation. You know, if a PlayStation Pro hadn't come out, I'd say, you know, just don't even bother. But the fact that, you know, they gotta offer something to, you know, that part of the community.
I think it's a smart idea, but at the same time, I don't know if this is the key to them making a dent in PlayStation numbers.
Well, we also don't know if this is perhaps the beginning of the
next console generation.
Well, also just the new gradual iteration format for consoles in general. with PlayStation and Xbox, and, you know, the Switch could do it too, where it's like, hey, your Joy-Con will work with this new tablet that's a little bit more powered, and, you know, as opposed to getting new consoles every 5-6 years, we just get iterations that are backwards compatible, like, you know, upgrading a PC, where mm-hmm. it's just like, okay, all your old games will work, but then you'll have new games that will just run better, they'll look significantly better, and then at some point, you know, certain games will only work on the newer versions of these consoles.
I mean,
which, I don't think that's terrible, because, I mean, the one good thing I like about that system is that games will then forever be backwards compatible.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
That's the best thing about PC, is that, you know, you buy something on Steam, you know, sometimes it might not be compatible with newer OSs, but then there's a way to get around that. You know, you run it as, you know, in that older OS or stuff like that. But usually they also just do a good job of updating things so that they will work with the newer systems. And I think that would make it a lot, a good system to go with, a plan.
I just hope the next year we don't get the PlayStation Pro.
Well, that would be stupid, because that's not enough time at all.
It's like, what's the point, really, you know? I mean, and another thing I like, too, that the fact that, you know, they're not going to make it a deal where, you know, you can only play it with a pro. To me, that's just like, you know, separating your user base is just dumb.
Well, I think that will eventually happen.
I think that'll be up to the actual game developer to do.
Well,
not Microsoft.
I'm not saying that's right. Microsoft's going to be like, from now on, you can only make games for this. And they're not going to say that, but, you know, they're going to say that if you want to utilize the full power of the system and only make a game that will be able to run on this system, that's for you to make that decision. You'll know what the install base is and how much that will limit potential sales. And if you want to do that, go right ahead. But, you know, and with, like, PC games, you can also make the thing where it's very adjustable in its, you know, settings and everything, where you have, like, your low settings and then your ultra settings, mm-hmm. but just on a console, where instead of you having to pick and choose all this stuff, it's just like, okay, you're running it on an Xbox One S, okay, we'll have the settings set up this way. You're on the Scorpio, then everything will be at the max. Because they should definitely, whatever they do with the consoles, if they do something like that, don't let the user adjust the settings.
No.
Just keep that away. Keep that away from
users. We'll have every digital found. We'll have every video going out like, look how shitty this game runs compared to the PS4 version.
You got to do that with an English accent, though.
No, I pretty much think I nailed the PlayStation fanboy.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, let's talk about video games.
Yes.
So, I take it we've all been playing Persona 5?
Well, no.
He hasn't gotten his yet.
I have mine Monday.
Oh,
I have it Monday, yeah.
I thought you said you'd have it Saturday. I don't know why.
Nah, I misspoke.
Oh.
I thought he said Monday in the chat.
Yeah, I did say Monday.
Did you?
See, so he didn't mistype. You've misread.
I said Monday on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Hell, I don't know.
Yeah, I ordered it.
Sometimes
yeah,
Rich is very quiet in chat, and then you'll ask him questions, you'll never hear from him, suddenly he pipes up again.
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. Well, I couldn't, okay.
He's not as quiet as Corey,
who
just like
see
you
for
randomly will just say yes or no.
Yeah, dude, what was up with that, dude? Because, you know, me having trouble with my eyes, that's kind of...
I know. Dude, it freaked me out, because we have eye issues in my family. Well, basically, I was... last week, and I was like anyone really gives a shit about us. I'm gonna tell you anyways. So I was driving home from get my car inspected, and I was like, wow, I got something on my glasses. I gotta clean up my glasses off. So I cleaned them off, and it was still there. So oh gee, I guess maybe something in my eye. So I put some eye drops in, and never didn't go away. And then I noticed that wherever I looked, the thing in my eye went. I'm like, oh, that's not good. So,
welcome to my world, Rich.
Yeah, man. So I was kind of freaking out because I kind of need my eyes, and I was kind of freaked out a little bit there. And it turns out that floaters don't necessarily float.
Yeah, they'll stay. They'll stay in one place.
Yeah, they'll stay in one place. So that's what happened with me. So,
would you buy a Scorpio if it had a setting for blind gamers?
No, because I'm not a blind gamer. Thank goodness.
So they didn't find anything else wrong with your eye? It was just a floater?
No, it's just a floater.
Did they say it would go away?
They said you're an old guy. It's going to happen. So get used to it. I'm like, okay, at least I know what it is now.
Yeah.
I don't want to become an old person now. I don't want to start seeing floaters.
It's coming, dude. Quicker than you think.
Speaking of eye issues, because we're getting really off topic here.
Yeah, way off topic.
But I was like, hey, you ready to talk about video games? Let's talk about eyes.
So, Monday, I had to get a shot in my left eye, which is the eye I've had the most trouble with. You know, I've got both troubles with both eyes now, but, you know, the right one's okay now. It's the left one that's always going to give me problems. They're like, yeah, that eye just keeps swelling up, so we're going to stick a steroid injection in that eye. And I'm like, oh, boy. And he's like, he goes, yeah, you're going to have a floater in your eye, and a pretty big one. I'm like, oh, okay. So he gives me the shot, and it's not going to feel any different. And he was right. It didn't feel any different. It didn't feel any different than the other injections I get, the Avastin in my eye. And as soon as they do it, I've got this big black purple, a perfect circle in the bottom of my eye.
Oh God.
And I mean, I guarantee it takes up probably 1/9 of my eye at the bottom. And when I look straight ahead, it basically looked, all I could see was the top of it, like a sunrise. So like this is, the black sun is like rising up in my vision. So I've just got this like little black circle at the bottom of my eye. And I was like, oh, God, I've got it. And they told me, yeah, you're going to have a floater for like 3 days to 10 days, something like that. And I'm like, okay. And I said, but it will go away. He goes, it should go away. I'm like, it should go away, huh? I was like, oh, God. So anyway, it was there all night till like about 10 o'clock. I was messing around with some Legos and had been sitting at my desk, and I'm looking down the entire time. And eventually it just got like a, you could start to see through the center of it. And then all of a sudden, it was like 30 minutes later, it was gone. It got smaller and smaller until it was gone. I was like, cool. Then I realized that I still had the floater he was talking about was right in the center of my eye, and it looked like a butterfly. And over the days, it's gone down and down. But I mean, it basically, if your brain kind of can perceive it not there if you're staring with both eyes open. But if I was to close one eye, I could see it. I can barely see it now. But yeah. So they're going to start giving me steroid injections in that eye occasionally, I think. And he said, wow, as long as the pressure doesn't go up, they're going to do something called putting a steroid pellet in my eye. And it lasts longer, is what he told me. So, but, you know, if they say it lasts longer, how long's longer? I mean,
right.
6 months? If I only have to get a shot every 6 months, I will put a pellet in my eye.
So, know? Says the guy with no pellet in his eye, right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, it just depends on how long it takes. But yeah, this is iTalk. So right, we will see you guys later. I hope you guys have a good
yeah, so
week.
Persona 5.
So Mark, I will let you take Persona 5 from the top. Get that dirty eye thoughts out of your
Persona
mouth.
Persona game? It's a Persona game. I don't think it's substantially different than previous Persona games. This is why I'm surprised that you're so into it, because I don't feel like it's doing anything that would make you like it more than previous Persona games. But it's a Persona. I just completed the second dungeon.
Wow, already? You're a little further than me now. I just started it. What I like about it, though, is I like the dungeons, the palaces, being set in stone, and that's what I didn't like about the old Persona games.
Yeah.
Because I don't like that randomly generated, because I find that boring, but I like how these are set up like actual, they feel more like a dungeon environment. Now, they do still have the randomly generated dungeons as well, which is its own weird thing. Oh, God, that's so weird. But
It's like little tiny missions you can go on.
But I like that.
It's called like what? Mentos, the fresh maker.
Mentos. But yeah, I don't want to give that away, because that was like one of those moments. I'm like, that's fucking weird that just happened. So I don't know. I really am into this one. I don't know what it is. I think it's the dungeons. I don't feel like I'm walking through squares and long hallways. I feel like I'm
actually. That surprises me. I guess in part because for me, Persona games are never about the combat or anything. I don't care at all about it. I think it's a fine system, but when I play through them initially, I always play through them on the easiest difficulty because I don't want any of that crap getting in my way of the story and the characters and the relationships and all that. Mm-hmm. I spend as little time in the dungeons as I can. When I go into the dungeon, I play through as far as I can until like either my party members are like, no, we are dying. We're not going any further. Which I don't know if they do in this game like they did in previous games. They're like, I'm just too tired. I'm going back to the entrance. Fuck you. You know, you can keep going if you want. That hasn't happened yet.
Well, in that second dungeon, there are times where you have to leave the dungeon.
Yeah, there are ways they break it up in which you have to, like, back out to do something else before you can progress any further. So I really don't feel like maybe in future dungeons, which I assume will be larger because the first two dungeons are not that big.
I think the dungeons are going to be about the same size, maybe a little
bit. I have that feeling too. And I think I'm not the biggest fan of the whole thievery setup. Because it's just like, oh, you're going to end this thing where you're stealing it or whatever. But you're never going to successfully steal it because they're always going to find you. And then you're going to have the boss battle because you need to have that boss battle. So I'm just like, what is the point of this? I know I'm going to get caught every time at the end of the dungeon.
Spoilers, Mark.
Now
I know.
You're going to fight a boss at the end of every dungeon.
No. No.
Yes, that's going to happen. But I'm enjoying the characters. It is, and I guess for anyone who doesn't want to be spoiled about anything, don't listen to anything. Because, like, I'm going to mention things that are just, like, in the very beginning. But compared to some of the other games, the way you are introduced in this game is just, like, everyone thinks you're a piece of shit. And the guy who's taking you aboard, he just likes reminding me how I'm a piece of shit. And if I do one thing, I'm going to be sent away because I'm such a piece of shit. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that
nobody
is pretty
likes
funny.
Me. I was just like, and he's still at it. I'm like, Jesus, shut your stupid mouth.
The other
that kind of annoys the hell out of me.
The other big problem I have with Persona games, which this one does for sure, is I hate when I get caught up in that loop of 3 or 4 days where I don't get to do anything I want to do.
Yeah. And it really sucks when I rented some DVDs and I don't get to return them and I get late fees. Yep. It happened to me this one time, but they're like, this is your first offense. We'll pass. We won't make you pay. But any time in the future, I'm like, God, because they were like a week late because there was like a week period where it's like I could not do anything. I'm like, I just want to return these fucking DVDs. Stop it. Let me do something. Let me just do one thing. It's like, no, I think you're pretty tired, bro. You should go to sleep. I'm like, fuck you, you stupid cat. Let me leave. You're not a boss of me.
Yeah, so far I like the characters as well. So
I like the main character.
So Rob, I'm just curious, what makes this click for you compared to 4?
I told you I think it's the dungeons being
really.
Yeah, I think,
and that's
because,
it.
Well,
which surprises all of me because the game to me is really it's about the relationships and the aspects.
I like all that points, but there's also the point of having to go into a dungeon to raise levels and get stuff so that you can actually beat the boss because some of these bosses are pretty tough.
Just play on the easiest difficulty.
But I don't play on the easiest difficulty.
I never do in most games. I usually play on the hardest.
Because I'll never go back to this if I ever finish it. So
yeah, but who cares? Then just go through. It's not like you care about trophies or anything. There's really no reason for you to play it on a harder difficulty except for your own whatever.
I'm not having that much trouble. I mean, the bosses have been a little difficult. I got stuck by that first boss, like sub boss in the second dungeon when you're trying to get out after you trigger that one thing. But I was like, oh, okay, this is really hard. But then I basically when you get the next character is what I got stuck there. But I didn't realize I didn't use the right spell on the right enemies is what happened. So that fucked me up. But I don't know. I'm getting really good at ambushing enemies. So I do like the whole stealth in this, where before it just seems like the other Persona games, like they would sometimes just pop out of nowhere and hit you.
Well, that sometimes happens.
Yeah.
But this one, it's more easy to predict.
Well, it's easier to ambush as well because you have the ability to take cover, whereas you just had to get behind them and then hit them without them like getting the little exclamation point. In this game, it literally says ambush.
Yeah.
Press X to ambush. But I don't love the cover system because if you're
that's a little
around, like you can just end up going back and forth over a corner. I'm like, just fucking stop. And I swear there's no way where it's like I'm in one place and there are clearly two options for cover, but it's like, no, we've decided that this one on the right side is the one where you would jump to if you press X, even though you could also, there's a cover space on the left side. Fuck you. You're going to the right. I don't care if that's a stupid idea. You're going to the right. Even if you get caught, you're going to the right. Mm-hmm. Motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't. I did like Persona 3, and I did like 4. I just never finished them.
They're long games.
Yeah, and I think when I get caught up in that loop of 5 or 6 days of not getting to do anything, and it's just like I just want to be able to do something. Also, the tutorial for this game is way long.
Yeah. Really, really long.
It's a long setup for that. I mean, you get a lot going on in that.
It's longer than any of the last ones, because I think the 4
it's
was
longer
like
than I remember the other ones
being. I want to say that there was like 3 or 4 hours in 4.
I feel like the previous games are around 3 hours, and this one's like 5 to 6.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And
wow,
then there's like chunks where there is more tutorial as well. I mean, that's just the first bit of tutorial where it's like, okay, we're going to let you do stuff now for a bit, and then all of a sudden they'll take control of again for like a week where it's like, we're going to learn how to do the mementos, and you're like, oh, God.
It is kind of nice that they're continuously being new things added. Like, this isn't a big spoiler, but I just was introduced to like hangout spots, mm-hmm. which you don't really get to like do anything at, but if you're like wanting to hang out with one of your companions, you can go over to these hangout spots and you can learn about some from reading books and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on in the outside world. I like that too. Like, I like the mementos, and I like there's also these side quests that'll be added to that. Well, I don't know if they're really side quests, because I think you have to do them, but I don't know. I honestly don't know, because I'm kind of in that
loop. I feel like you don't have to do them, but I don't know. I haven't done other than the first one.
Yeah. Oh, really? You didn't do the second one to get into the second dungeon?
No.
Oh, wow. I did that one, too.
I ain't gonna waste my time with that shit. Like I said, I want to spend as little time in the dungeons as possible. Yeah, I want to hang out with my friends.
Yep, that's the big draw.
Well, all I get to hang out with right now is Ryuji. They won't let me hang out with her.
Yeah, because you're not, what is it? You
kindness.
Need to be charming or kindness?
Kindness. I've been trying to raise my kindness.
The second they're like, you have to raise this, I'm like, well, I know what I'm doing over the next few days. I'm just doing everything that raises my kindness. Because I do not want to hang out with Ryuji.
No.
And it's like, it took me forever to raise that knowledge. Hope to Christ that...
Knowledge is ridiculous. Okay. I think probably because there are a lot of moments where you can just get knowledge by, you know, answering questions right or doing this or that.
So I'm watching
you're going to get more points.
I'm watching sad DVDs. I'm reading about the dog that waited for its master to die or at the master's grave. I'm like, oh my God, please raise my kindness so I can at least hang out with somebody else.
Go to the movie theater, too.
Oh, man.
I forgot about that.
The movie theater, it'll raise depends on the movie plan. You don't have a choice, but I think the first time you see it, you get 3 Ooh. Points, which is really good. And then I think you get 2 the second time you see it. You can only see them twice, but that's a decent amount for, mm-hmm. 1 point of time in a day.
What was you going to say, Rich?
I said, man, all this talk about Persona, I'm like, I can't wait to get the game tomorrow, man. I've always enjoyed these games, and I thought maybe I was kind of over that type of game, because I haven't played a Japanese game in a while. I'm like, man, maybe I'm getting over it, but I'm excited. I can't wait to play it.
And you know what you could do, Rich? Remote play with your Vita, or maybe you can only do it on PS4. I've never done it.
Yeah, that's probably.
I've done that a little bit. Really works. It's fine. It just reminded me of how small the Vita screen is.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a nice screen, but man, it's tiny.
It's small. It is.
Runs really well, though. I mean, playing it that way, it was fine. So, like, late at night, if I'm ready to just lay in bed for a bit, it is an option. Even though I do, like, it's not, super visually intensive, but I love the art style. It's very sharp and clean. I do like seeing it on the TV compared to the Vita screen.
Nice. So, Persona
5 would be the perfect Switch game.
Persona 5 is a good. We like Persona 5.
Yeah.
For now.
And it's a Persona-ass Persona game. Yeah, so, sure. If you've never played a Persona game, pick it up.
And I will say this.
If you played one and you didn't like it, don't.
in a way, it's also kind of one of those good games. If you got 15 minutes, as long as you don't get stuck in that loop of having to go do things, it's kind of that game where you could pick up for 15 minutes and do a day and feel like you accomplished something, as long as you don't go to a dungeon or something.
It's reminding me of the one of the few nice things I like about the PlayStation 4 is just the when you put it in like the sleep mode or whatever, where just you turn it on, it just jumps you right in the game.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to reload the game or anything. So that's nice. But it's also reminding me of how shitty the battery life on the DualShock 4. Fucking, it's pathetic that I have to charge this stupid fucking controller every day.
Yeah.
Garbage. It is garbage. Everyone who uses excuse, I'm so happy that, you know, if I have a built-in battery in my DualShock 4 compared to having to use double A's. Yeah. Well, you know what? I can get a week's worth of time out of my Xbox One controller.
Yeah, but even if the PS5
and if the battery dies, I can just replace them and not have to have it played wired. So fuck you, you piece of shit. Why is of all the things like Nintendo is behind in so many ways, but for some fucking weird reason, they've managed to create wireless controllers with built-in batteries that last for fucking ever.
Because they don't got freaky-ass lights on it.
I don't know what the hell is in it.
That is what happened. That stupid touchpad and fucking light.
There's no way that light does that much damage to the battery. Because I'm compared to the Wii U Pro Controller and, from all accounts, the Switch Pro Controller, those things last like 30-plus hours. It's ridiculous how long those controllers last.
Plus, it's got the
NFC in it. A Switch one. Fuck the DualShock 4. God, I hate that thing.
Yeah. Anyway, so Persona 5, people like it. We like it. It's a good. Can't wait for Rich to play it. I like it. And I will play some more of it. I've been about 15 hours in at this point, I think.
It's the first game I've bought at launch in for fucking ever. I think it might be. Oh, shit. I hope this isn't true, that it might be the first game since that horrible Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. I think it's definitely the last one I pre-ordered since that.
Oh, fuck that.
Wow.
I forgot about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. I wish I could.
I did buy No Man's Sky like a week after it came out.
Oh.
Don't regret that at all. I do kind of want to go back to it because it's like added vehicles and I'm curious. Like I've seen, like, I think they might have added like a visuals thing. Like I'm just curious to see what it's like now.
All right, so let's move on to Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yes. Okay, I'm gonna just, you know, run away for 10 minutes or whatever while you talk about this game that, but you guys love, so fucking whatever.
All right, Rich, I'll let you take it from the top.
Oh,
here.
Man. Okay, so I think I'm about 80 hours into the game at this point.
Holy shit, Rich, are you serious?
Yeah, dude, I'm doing things, man. I'm making shit happen.
So 80 hours in, you're still liking it, correct?
Oh, yeah. Okay. In fact, I'm liking it a lot more than I initially did. You know, it's funny. I go back and think about the first Mass Effect, and, you know, it doesn't really grab you at first. Mass Effect has always been kind of, for me,
Mass Effect 1 grabbed me.
You know, the style grabbed me, but the actual story...
Oh, no, I was very... I love the mystery of shit, and that mystery of why these fucking poles appeared on this planet and shot through these people, and I was like, okay, there's a mystery to solve here, and I love that.
Right. Well, it was a little slow. So for Andromeda, for me, you know, you start off, you're on some... I don't want to give anything away. You're trying to strike out in a new galaxy, and with this initiative, the Andromeda Initiative, and you show up at a place that you thought was in a certain condition, and you find it in a completely different situation. So when you start off, everything is kind of limited. Like you know, there's all kinds of environmental hazards, and everything seems like real limited. Like, wow, I can't really go anywhere. I can't really do anything without dying. And as you cultivate the planet, and you're basically terraforming.
See, I love that shit,
dude. I do too. And man, I tell you, as the planets literally come to life, and this is the first Mass Effect. Even in Mass Effect 3 was even guilty of this. You know, you felt like you were on a play setting. Like, mm-hmm. okay, I'll go yes. to this planet.
Two and three, like, to me, always felt that way. I yeah. felt like I wasn't yeah. in a world. I felt like I was no. in a level.
Right. And Mass Effect 3 does a... I mean, Mass Effect Andromeda, I should say, does a great job of making you feel like you're actually on a living planet that is changing as you're doing things in it. And each planet is distinct.
I've only good. Unlocked the first planet, so don't talk about.
Oh my gosh, man!
So I haven't played as much. Like I said, you know, I got stuck okay. up by yeah, yeah, the other yeah, things.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you, yeah, other great games.
Yeah,
but this, you know, so there was a lot of talk about the animations, and compared to Mass Effect 3, yeah, the animations were subpar. I mean, mm-hmm. there's no getting around that. A patch came out, I think Thursday,
yeah.
And there is a noticeable change. The eyes aren't dead anymore. They seem more lifelike now.
Do they blink?
They blink. Oh, they blink God. Naturally. Yeah, they blink naturally now. There's more emotion conveyed to the blinking. Now, that being said, the character design, as with my wife, she's been playing a lot of it too. And, you know, for her, the problem is just the art style for the humans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little, I don't know, they're almost cartoonish, I mm-hmm. guess you could say, compared to like, you know, more of the photorealism
well,
that we had in the last.
There's a big bit of controversy about that. And I kind of want to bring this up, and I kind of don't mm-hmm. want us to be seen in a bad light.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Knock it out, man.
But
yeah.
There's been a lot of controversy about that they purposely try to... And it's going to sound like I'm butthurt about it. It's annoying, but I'm not really that butthurt about it. Well, I'm just coming right out and say it. The lead designer of the game hates white people. And yeah. they purposely made that game... Where if you don't choose the default character, you cannot make a white person.
Well, you know what? I will have to disagree with you on that because I'm playing as a black character,
mm-hmm.
and my character looks like a fucking train wreck. I don't know.
If well, no. Are you playing male or female?
Male.
Okay.
Dude, and that's the thing. To me, the female characters look a lot better than the male characters.
Really? Because every one of them look hideous. Like, you cannot make a good-looking female character in that game.
No, my wife did. She's hot.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm shocked because
my wife's looking good, man.
And then I picked a default face that looked the most white person I could make and then turned the skin tone all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And I started playing the game and my dad was black and it just ruined the whole experience for me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's like you're in a game, you have a twin. That's a different sex than you. And my sister looks a lot like my mother, and I look like my dad, and it's like there's no family resemblance between the two. You know, it's like, wow. I mean, I don't see. I don't know. It just looks kind of weird. But, I think they kind of missed the boat on that one, I think.
But what I was getting around. Back to about the hating white people, I mean, the Manver Hair or whatever his damn name is, mm-hmm. he's wrote Twitter about hating white people. I was trying to look it up, but I can't seem to find it right now. But I did look it up and it was there. He basically said something that he hates white people, and I'm like, okay, well that's. But I mean, I'm just it, he. I'm
that is up, just crazy to me.
But
okay.
But also, you should look up the videos of the male character, like the main male character that you choose and the female character, and look up the people that they're based off of.
Mm-hmm.
You need to look up the man and how he looks almost identical to what his character looks like. And then look what they did to the woman character because of the diversity and shit like that. They wanted women to look more like real women. Mm-hmm. And they took a model for her, but when they made her character, they puffed her out, her face and everything. She looks like she's about... I don't... Dude... It's just so weird. I mean, she's probably to me she's all right looking, but mm-hmm. the real female is way better looking, and it's like I don't understand what they did.
Well, I would hope the real female would be better looking.
Well, I mean, but I'm saying it's just so weird. I mean, but they, you really have to work to make a decent looking female version in this game. But that's here. I just wanted to bring my point about that because it is really weird.
Okay.
But other than that.
I think the white man's being kept down. I'm sorry, Rob.
Yeah, the white man. White man's being kept down. Thank you for apologizing to me. It's great to know that, you know.
I, on behalf of all the good-looking brown people out there, I'm sorry, Rob.
That's why I love you, Rich.
So anyways, man, getting back to the game, ugly white people aside, I'm really liking this game. I feel like they really nailed the you feel like you're like part of an expedition.
That's exactly what I like about it is the exploration and stuff. I feel like I'm investigating stuff. I'm solving things. I wish there had been more alien races for sure. And I know it makes sense why they're not there, but it also makes sense that it saved money for them not to have them there.
Right, right. And, you know, and I don't want to give so much that I don't want to give away. But, you know, this game does a really good job of unpacking just how big it is. Like, you know, I thought that Mass Effect 3 was a relatively big game.
Uh-huh.
Dude, Mass Effect Andromeda is so much bigger.
Yeah.
The game is immense. And, you know, and also I heard some people complaining about fetch quest and the like. There is some of that, but like a lot of the your main party missions are just excellent. They're all different. They're written differently. They really bring up the characters, your crew's personality.
Yeah, that's something that people were bitching about. The crew had no personality. I'm like, I don't see that at all.
I think they do too. I think a lot of what's going on is okay. You have new Casey. What's his last name? The guy who wrote for Mass Effect, who left. He left, and
Casey Hudson. You know, is that it?
Yeah, Casey Hudson. He left, and so a lot of people, you know, felt like, okay, this is going to take a downturn because people love to shit on stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
When anything changes, you got to shit on it. So I think there was some of that. I mean, are things as serious as, I mean, there's definitely a lot more humor in this game than there has been in the
first time that you come back and we didn't die. Yeah, right, and we did this and we didn't die. It's like, yeah. I laughed. I thought that was pretty funny.
I thought it was,
and then
funny
most
too.
People put that on YouTube and they'll make fun of that. See, look at this terrible dialogue. I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was funny because people say campy stuff like that in real life, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people deal with emotional distressing situations with humor because it's the only thing that they have.
Exactly. So I think it's really good. I like a lot of the characters. I also appreciated the fact that this time around, as far as like, you know, things like romance and what have you, I think they did a better job of not making things as linear or just like, okay, do this, you know.
And I will say one thing,
do this one mission and then you got it in the bag, you know.
One thing like about the game too is it's no longer Paragon.
And, yeah, I like that too.
And I hated that because like I always wanted to be the good guy, so I always had to say something one way. And now they brought in the Dragon Age stuff where you can be snarky or logical and stuff like that. And I like that because I don't feel like I'm being a cookie cutout.
Exactly. You feel more like a character and less like a caricature. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I did. I'm really enjoying this game, and I think a lot of the negative. I mean, I think I was looking at the Metacritic just for ha-has. It's like a 71, and dude, there's no way on this green earth that Mass Effect Andromeda is a 71 game. It's definitely better than a 71.
I don't. I mean, I could see why people
70 is not terrible.
Yeah.
But this is better than a 70. It is.
To you.
I'm gonna throw Mark off the bus. Getting on my nerves with this. To you.
Want to play Mass Effect after I've heard multiple people compare it to the first Mass Effect.
Yes,
which, you know,
that's what I
feel
like.
And I love, that's my favorite Mass Effect game. Yeah, so I am actually interested in playing it. And because, you know, I'm not going to be playing it anytime soon and there's been that recent patch, you know, it'll probably be a very different experience for me and one that's, you know, different from the one that a lot of people reviewed and, you know, that had issues with it and all that kind of stuff. So I don't have anything against Mass Effect. You know, I do look forward more so to their new project, which is something new, because I'd like to see something different from BioWare. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested in it. You know, after I heard that, I was scared away a little bit when Rich said, oh, it's like something meets Destiny. I'm like, oh, you just, that's the wrong comparison, no, buddy.
I know.
I can see where he's getting the Destiny comparison saying, from, just the way that the world is that you kind of walk around in.
It can be a 71 game.
Yeah, but it trust me, it's there's a lot more going on in it.
For you.
No, period. There's a lot more going on. No,
yeah, but games are all about opinion, and that can be a substantial opinion. Just because you think a game is better than that doesn't mean that the critical consensus is wrong. That is just the critical consensus. That's it.
Oh, also, I gotta ask Rich. Mm-hmm? Did you played since the patch, right?
Oh yeah.
Did they get rid of the old thing when you scan planets, where you go to the fucking planet now and you have to watch this fucking long ass intro to go to the planet?
Yeah, thank God. Can skip it. You can skip it.
Oh, thank God.
I don't, but you can.
Why would you not skip that?
I'm joking. I'm joking.
That's like, no wonder you put 80 hours into it.
I was trying to get a rise out of you, out of Mark, not you, but he didn't bite.
He doesn't know about the loading screens. That
also, I like half listened to a lot of this stuff. I was getting something to drink while you guys were talking and stuff, so I find I missed a lot of stuff. But like saying that, you know, it's not a 71 thing, I could say that about Metal Gear Solid 4. I just checked. It's a 94 on Metacritic. I think that game is a piece of garbage. But if plenty of people loved it, fine. They can love it. A lot of the critics can love it. A lot of the users, a lot of people who played it can love it. I think it's a piece of garbage, and I'm someone who's a huge Metal Gear Solid fan.
I think Uncharted 4 is a 71. There.
I think Uncharted 4 is... it's fine. I think the Uncharted series is one of the most overrated series in video game history. I think... they're all, gameplay-wise, they're all pretty much garbage. 4 makes up for it by just letting you lock on to enemies to make up for the fact that the shooting is a piece of garbage. The climbing and all that stuff is never fun because you're just jumping to a specific point. Might as well just make it a cutscene because they're really good at making cutscenes. Just don't make me control because I don't really give a shit.
Again, it's no Tomb Raider, and I will fight somebody to death that says it's better than Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider is leaps and bounds, literally, ahead of every Uncharted game. See, even that little kid in the background agrees. He's like, I love Tomb Raider, too. That's what he said. You couldn't hear him, but I understood him, because I have really good hearing, and that's what...
I'm sorry, I was trying to mute him.
Wow. Put a sock in his mouth? What are you trying to mute him?
I'm like... Obviously, he heard that. He has no sock in his mouth. No, he'd left on my popcorn, a little bastard.
So, yeah, Mass Effect Andromeda, me and Rich like it. I haven't played as much as Rich has, but...
I love it.
Again, they decided to release 40-hour games within weeks of each other, all in the same month.
Well, you know, some people just, you know, buy one game at a time.
Yeah, like...
Yes, we call those people savages.
We call those people normal human beings.
We call those people that didn't decide to start a fucking stupid-ass podcast. And feel like I'm obligated to play games. Hey, I didn't buy Lego City.
I didn't buy Lego City Undercover. My thing all the time, and I don't do it.
I didn't buy Lego City Undercover. I will buy it when it gets cheaper.
$60?
Yeah, it's $60.
Should be $40.
Also, Bulletstorm, $60.
Please.
I like Bulletstorm. If that game had been $20, I might have thought about it.
Yeah.
But $60, go fuck yourself.
All
right.
Just to do all the campy.
Duke Nukem is not worth.
No.
So anyway,
he actually makes it worth less.
Speaking,
I'll pay $60 for a version of Bulletstorm Remastered with Duke Nukem not in it.
Right.
Mass Effect. We're gonna move on because we're already an hour into this. I picked up Lego Worlds, which is a $25 game. And
on sale right now for $20.
Is it on sale for $20?
I think. At Best Buy.
I'm
sure.
So this game's a little weird because on the outset it looks kind of like maybe it's a Minecraft style of game. but honestly, it's really not that. It's really more akin to No Man's Sky. So you land on a planet and you gotta solve people's problems and they give you gold bricks, and then after you let's say you land on a planet that's like, okay, you're on this prehistoric planet, so you're gonna have Lego dinosaurs running around and you're gonna have cave people, and you'll go to the cave person, they're like, you know, bring me this. And if you bring them this item they need, now it necessarily may not be on that planet, but if you go out to another planet later and come back, you can give them this item. And once you solve their quest, you can actually collect them, and you can actually play that character, or you can spawn them into the world. So that's how this game works. You collect things by, you got a scanner where it's like, okay, it's like, oh, I don't have this grass over here. So you'll shoot that grass at the scanner, and then suddenly you can pay studs. And then suddenly you can put this piece of grass down as many times as you want once you buy it. So you can...
Sounds a little like that Astroneer game, too, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I haven't played that, so I don't know. But
question, yes. Before you continue.
Mm-hmm.
Is there online co-op?
There is, but only two-player co-op right now.
That's still a vast improvement over every LEGO game in a long time.
So apparently they're supposed to be adding more at some point, but... So you get different tools, like you get the painting tool, and you get the tool that flattens and raises the land or digs holes. Kind of like, basically, weapons work like No Man's Sky, where you can kind of shoot the ground and dig underneath. Eventually, you'll get these things show up called troublemakers, and they're carrying a Lego piece. And if you chase them down and tackle them, you'll get that Lego piece. So that is what's a little weird about this game, is you don't get access to every piece of Lego in the world. You have to collect them to these troublemakers. And stuff like that. So, but they do have this really neat build thing that you can use any of the pieces that you've got and build houses. You can do it fast, like just like, okay, I want to build this wall. You know, you just point at the ground and build up the wall as high as you want to. Or you can literally go piece by piece and build it like you would do a real Lego set. So if there was a Lego set that you liked and you had all the pieces in the game, you could literally build that vehicle or a toy or whatever. Now, granted, you're not going to have licensed stuff like Star Wars and stuff like that in the game, but you got the old classic stuff like pirates and castles and Mars and stuff like that. But it's an interesting game. I don't know. I haven't put as much time into it as I need to find out if I really like it or not. But it does have an interesting, and it's an interesting concept. It's a little weird, and it takes a little bit getting used to. It's way more complicated than you think it is going into it. So,
and it is on sale at Best Buy for $20.
Yeah, and so basically, you're trying to get around different planets, solve their problems, and unlock more planets, and go to those planets. So it's very much like No Man's Sky in that way.
All procedurally generated?
I don't know. I don't. I think there are worlds out there that are pre-generated, but you can actually create your own pre-generated world. I'm pretty sure everything's pre-generated, but you can actually claim a planet as your own once you get so many gold bricks. I think you gotta get 100 gold bricks, which isn't as hard as it sounds, because literally anytime you help anybody do anything, they give you a gold
brick. And then you can create your own planet.
Yeah, you can go and create your own planet.
Can you visit other players' planets?
I think that's what you do.
Okay.
You know what I'm blown away by? You got on my case for my Destiny Mass Effect analogy, but you let Rob get away with No Man's Sky Lego analogy.
You realize that I like No Man's Sky. The reason why I gave you shit for the Destiny comparison is because I don't like Destiny. So you saying that to me is telling me don't play Mass Effect Andromeda. No Man's Sky, it's like, oh, I actually enjoyed No Man's Sky, and this is a game I could get right now for $16.
Well, I just wanted you to just put that out there so everyone knows exactly how wrong you are. Thank you, Mark.
No, this is the episode where I literally want to come out and strangle Rich. He's driving me nuts more than I think. If you combine every other episode, he's always been like the one who I'm like, I don't, you know, I'm pretty much in agreement with Rich. I'm pretty cool with him. Now I want to kill him. Get a race car and drive it through his house, avoiding his family.
Only Rich can use the race card.
I just want to.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I like to see you try. That'd be funny.
That would literally happen because I don't have a driver's license. So, you know, and be like, oh, well, he doesn't know how to drive. So, of course, he's going to drive into someone's house. Man, it'll just happen to be your house.
Or something, man. We can work on that.
And destroy your house. You can, you know, you can go find some kind of little thing and then put it back together, like in No Man's Sky and Lego World. You can build your base and then destroy it. Yeah.
I'll get right on that.
Yeah, so sometimes some of the missions in Lego World involve in building a house for somebody or painting their house, and you can literally just go up there and slap, like, one spot of paint on it, and they'll be like, are you done? And you go, yep, and they're like, all right, here's your gold brick. You're like, yeah, douchehole. Oh, and that is one thing that you can do, too. Let's say you come somewhere and there's, like, there's a house, and you're like, oh, that house looks pretty cool. You can actually scan that house and copy it and have that in your inventory that you can just put down at any point.
The entire house.
The entire house. You just plop it down anywhere you want, and you just like, and honestly, if you scan it and copy it that way, it doesn't cost you anything, I don't think. And also, something else is cool, they have treasure chests that's laying around, and sometimes they'll have weapons in them, but occasionally you'll find some that have like Lego sets in them, and when you open it up, it's like, oh, you can build this pirate tower. If you buy this pirate tower for so many pieces, you can just build it.
And you'll this, in a way, also sounds like what I would have wanted out of Disney Infinity Toy Box mode.
Except you can't build, you can't really build like adventure games and stuff like that, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I meant like the, not, I guess not the creation aspect, but just the sort of hub world where like they have the hub world and it's just like you can't really do anything there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Man, I wish Disney Infinity kept going.
I wish they would have, I think these Toys of Life games need to cut down on how many toys you need. Because I think that's what kills them. Is, I don't, not,
well, you don't need that many. They just make so many that people are like, what the fuck do I need? And like that, it just costs so much. And then there are certain ones that, of course, nobody wants. Like, who the fuck ever would have wanted any of the Alice in the Wonderland sequel fucking whatever it was called pieces? Nobody. That's why you could get them like a few months later for like $2.39.
So, anyway, that's Lego Worlds. I'm moving on to Nier Automata. I wasn't giving this game a fair chance before. I only played like a couple hours, but this game gets totally friggin' weird and totally pretty awesome. I don't really want to go too much because I feel like anything in this game is kind of a spoiler, so I don't really want to talk about anything in it. Because it's definitely one of those games, if you like the combat and you liked how the demo played, you should give this game a shot. The world itself is kind of bland.
There's a demo?
Yeah, there's a demo.
Yeah, there's a demo.
I probably don't want to download because it's probably like 40 gigabytes.
No, hey, do you blow up her clothes so you can see her in her panties?
I don't know because I heard... Okay, if you don't want to know anything about this game, you better not listen now.
Okay.
But, Rich, I'm... Are you going to listen, Rich? Because I don't want to say that if you're not even going to listen, because I'm talking to you.
No, no, no. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Okay. Continue.
So, I heard like one through fifth of the way through this game, you don't even play 2B anymore.
Okay. That's cool.
And I don't know who you play. I just heard that, and I'm like... And then it made kind of sense, because I kept seeing screenshots of this game. I was like, this doesn't look like my 2B. Do you get other outfits? And I was like... Oh, now it kind of makes sense. So, if you see GIFs out there and you're like, why isn't she wearing a skirt? Well, that's probably why. So, and I don't know what gaming ramifications that had, and that's kind of what kept me going hearing that, because I'm like, well, who the hell do I play? And honestly, after paying 15 hours, I'm not fifth through this game yet, and haven't got to that yet. Like, wow. So, and it's so sad, because I want to play more of that, but I don't want to stop playing Persona, and I want to play Mass Effect.
Yeah, this is the one game that I wish I had a PlayStation 4 for, because this game just looks so different than everything else, and I don't really have, there aren't many action, you know, RPGs on the Xbox. I really, really look like I want to play this, and... It's never gonna. Did Sony put the bill for this, or is this?
They haven't said.
Okay, because I'm hoping against hope, maybe someday this will show up on the Xbox.
Part of me is annoyed because I feel like maybe because Nier Automata took up so much time, maybe that's why Scalebound did not get done and got canceled. Because Platinum just seems like Platinum has a B team. because we know this, because they'll make one game that's really awesome, like Transformers
Devastation,
and then they make Ninja Turtles
or Avatar.
and it's like, and it's like, so this may have been Nier's A team, and then like the B team may have been working on Scalebound, so you're like, man.
I think Scalebound Platinum was... Games is just too stretched out.
Yeah, I think so.
They need to consolidate and not take on as many things. Even though, the license stuff surely probably pays for
them to do all this stuff. I think Scalebound suffered from tone deafness. I mean, if you look at, as good a game as Sunset Overdrive was, it didn't really click with a lot of people. It was just a little too radical dude for people, you know?
It's too in your face.
You know, too
you know
trying
what
too
no
hard.
Game needs, and this it doesn't need it in the game or from the people demoing it, headphones. Big, fat headphones.
Yeah.
I don't need that in the game. I don't need it around a guy's neck who's playing it.
Yeah.
Especially that, because you're not even fucking wearing them. Get that shit away.
It's like, hey, he has a pet dragon, but he's also really cool because he's got he's bumping his
Beats and, headphones.
You know, it's just kind
of... I don't know, man. That just kind of reminded me of Devil May Cry. In a way, I like Devil May Cry. I like that kind of style of character. I don't have any.
Well, Devil May Cry is made.
Yeah, but he didn't have a pet dragon with Beats around his neck either, dude. I'm just saying. It just, I don't know.
If I had a pet dragon, I'd wear fucking Beats, because who's going to tell me I can't?
Right?
Definitely.
Another guy with a pet dragon?
The dragon would tell you, get those fucking headphones off your neck.
Yeah, right.
That dragon would tell me shit, because I tell him what to do. You see,
go fly.
Good luck with that.
I ain't afraid no dragon. I'm here. But, I'm still here. We're dragons. Extinct, cool. Bitch. That's right.
Oh, you mean non-existent.
Extinct, non-existent, whatever. Same difference. Also, last thing, I finished Zelda Breath of the Wild. About 95 hours to finish it. I finished it with 80 of the shrines done out of 120. So, you know, there's still...
How many of the 900 seeds or whatever they are?
Funny is that I had about as many seeds as I had shrines done. So it was I think I may have had 80, 81 or 82 seeds by the time I was done. And I was ready for that game to be done. I mean, I loved it. But I felt like I explored so much. I felt like I really explored that world, and then I would find new shit, and I was just like, if I don't finish this game, I'm never going to finish it, and I need to just get it done.
Right.
And that's why I went ahead and finished it. I've got the DLC. I bought the DLC, the season pass for it, so. I never did go back and get my Nintendo Switch shirt, though. I should have done that.
Who cares about that? But I mentioned this in the Facebook chat, but... Your console hasn't been hit with any warping or anything like that, and you primarily played it in dock mode.
Right. I have 95 hours. I'll say about 95 hours total I played that system, because I played about 20 minutes of Blaster Master as well. I had that, I think an hour of that time may have been out of the dock. So 94 hours I played in the dock, and I haven't seen any warping or anything. Now, granted, I haven't laid it on the table and looked at it. When Rich talks about Battlefield, I may go grab mine and throw it on the table here. Not throw it, and just kind of see to be sure. But I didn't notice anything.
It won't be that long.
So anyway,
you better run.
Well, I'm right in the room. So Rich, go ahead and talk.
Yeah. So I wasn't planning on picking up the Thou Shall Not Pass, They Shall Not Pass DLC for Battlefront 1, but I got some free Microsoft Microsoft money, so I said, "Oh, screw it, $13."
Did you say Battlefield Front 1?
I meant to say Battlefield 1.
Okay, I was like, "What did I just hear?"
Oh, stop it! So you know what I'm talking about. So,
do I?
So, I like the maps. So basically, first of all, they've added the French army to this DLC. And if you know anything about history, I mean, not having the French in a World War I game is kind of crazy, considering more French soldiers died than probably anyone else during the war. That's a nice addition. They've also added one of the most famous battles sites, Verdun. And I think I haven't gotten to the Somme. I think the Somme is on here, too. But... I've been playing some of the maps. The maps are freaking amazing, man. They're way better than the the original maps that came with the game.
There's a problem, though.
What?
This is the one time when you'd rather have single-player DLC. I would, at least.
Oh, dude, I totally would have liked single-player DLC. I'd
love some more single-player. Yeah. Like, that would get me to play it. That would get me to buy the DLC. That would get me to replay the game. I like the multiplayer, but I'm just... I don't feel that inclined to go back and play it.
I'm actually... This it's kind of getting me interested in the game again. The maps are so... The pacing of the map, just more areas to, like, sort of plan tactically what you're going to do next. You know, more options on how you want to, you know, like, either attack an objective or, it's just really cool. I'm really enjoying it.
Good news, guys. Yes. My Switch is not warped. So
congratulations.
I'll send the picture so you guys can see.
The Switch was in stock again today.
At Toys R Us. I don't know where.
And Best Buy.
Oh, was it?
It came in stock online.
Oh my god.
Both versions, the gray and the neon.
Oh my god, did you snap one up? Did you switch it up?
I don't know.
Oh damn.
Maybe. Is that a maybe?
I did. I had $100 in reward certificates. I didn't buy Zelda, so I'm going to have a Switch and nothing to play, so.
Yeah.
You need to get that Zelda, son.
No, I don't. That's a lot. That's too much money. I snatched it up because I'm definitely concerned about the neon version and how hard that's been to come across.
Yeah.
And also online, I can get, you know, a discount in sales tax, and I had those $100 in reward points, which takes off $100 before tax, so it came out to like $212 total.
So there you go. I sent a picture. I think I accidentally sent it twice, so you guys can see that mine is not warped.
I think I'm gonna wait until Christmas to get one for the kids.
Do what you did with the Wii U. Make them pay for their own.
Yeah.
All right. So
just buy them another Wii U and then paint the sides of it blue and red and be like, it's a Switch.
Yeah.
Don't take it out with you ever. Don't ever leave, you know, stay 10 feet from the TV.
Or just get Zelda. Or just get Zelda on the Wii U. They can do that too.
Yeah. So you done talking about Battlefield?
Yeah. I mean, it's just more of good stuff.
Yeah.
Just different.
How many maps?
I think areas. I think it's Verdun and the Somme. So, and you know, they have it broken up for different play styles.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So was it $10?
It's like, I think it's 15, but EA thing, it's like 13 or whatever. So, right. Yeah, I picked it up. It's cool. I dig it.
All right. So, I guess that's going to be it.
I've still play Clicker Heroes.
And we don't need to talk about that.
Dude, I stopped.
Thank God.
I can't.
I always knew you were the reason.
I'm like, what am I doing?
Well, I mean, I don't really play it. It's like if I'm working on a piece of art, you know, doing work, I can just occasionally glance and like, okay, I'll just press the A button to upgrade this character for right now. So it's not something I ever am like, okay, I have time to just put and focus on a video game. I'm not going to be playing Clicker Heroes. If I'm, like, doing other things and can't play anything where I have to actually do anything other than press a button every now and again, I'll play Character Heroes. That's it.
Okay.
I just want to get those last two achievements. Because those are two achievements that not many people will get because you have to be nuts to do it. And I am nuts.
All right.
Indeed, you are.
I'm not going to talk about Rick and Morty Season 3. It's Rick and Morty Season 3. It's awesome. You should watch Rick and Morty.
Well, I think the way it was released was kind
hilarious.
Of cool. Yeah. I didn't, you know, I've never watched the show. Is it on Hulu?
The first two seasons are.
Okay. Because I want to check it out.
I don't know if you'd like it or not.
I'm not sure if I'll like it either, but, you know, I have Hulu. So
it took me a couple episodes to get into it, and then I rewatched the entire thing. I'm like, okay, I get it now. So, yeah. But anyway.
Hey, I cut the cord. I have no cable anymore. I just have Sling TV and Hulu and Netflix now. Yeah, I'm digging it, man.
I've never had a cord.
Dude, save $100 a month.
I got that DirecTV now.
Yeah. I would do the same thing if mom didn't live here and she didn't watch cable.
dude, I wore my wife down. Finally, she relented. I'm like, come on.
So. All right, guys, that should be it for the show. So,
okay.
Mark, Rich, get your plugs.
Yes. Down. All right, so if you guys are into sports car racing, check out my show, Sports Car Unleashed.
Boy, are we.
Yeah, I know you guys are.
Oh, I got to tell you this.
If you like Project Cars, you're going to love that podcast. They are just like, you know, Destiny and Mass Effect Andromeda. Peas in a pod.
I will tell you this. That's a funny story. I'm sitting there playing Xbox the other night, and Sean's in the party with me. Sean from Pixelated Paranormal.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, so do you listen to Rich's podcast? I'm like, the Sports Car Unleashed one? He's like, yeah, do you listen? I was like, no. He goes, is it any good? And I was like, I don't know. I don't listen. And I was like, I go, do you like sports cars? He goes, no, not really. I said, then you're probably not going to like his podcast. He goes, yeah, but I feel like we should, like, you know, support our podcast friends. I'm like, yeah, I'm not listening to a sports car podcast.
Hey, you don't even listen to my show, and I'm the one who pays to keep this show up and puts it up and all that stuff.
I probably listen to your show more than Rob does.
Well, Rob doesn't listen to it ever.
Unless it's
like specifically something where it's like, I'm kind of interested in this specific topic. So,
well, I'm not a ghost hunter, but I listen to paranormal every once in a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, least paranormal stuff's interesting. Okay.
Oh shit!
Damn.
We have guests. If you're bored with me, we have guests on every week, man.
Are they also sports car enthusiasts?
No, they're race car drivers. They're freaking team owners.
Honestly, if I love sports cars, I would probably listen.
Yeah.
I don't even care about cars.
Gotta get you on board, man.
No, man, I don't sports car, bro. I'm too white for that.
Dude, there's nothing whiter than
that makes you like the prime artist for it.
Dude, I'm an anomaly. Let's put it that way.
But yeah, Sean is very concerned with our pixelated network. He wants to be involved in all things, as I'm sure Mark could tell you.
Well, I'll tell you, man. Tell Sean next time. I'll tell him. I appreciate it, man.
If you want to help Rich in the Sports Car Unleashed, and you don't care about watching sports cars, do what I haven't done and go to iTunes and vote and say, "Hey, this is a great show. 5 stars.
Yeah, 5-star it all day." Never listen to it.
Do what I haven't done. Anyway, yeah. Let's get back to plugging stuff.
Yeah, so anyways, and my Twitter and gamertag and all that stuff is RolexDPRacer. So even if you don't listen to my show, you can still be my friend.
Yeah.
Mark and Rob are, so. And they don't listen.
Yeah, so. That's right. I don't listen. Mark, what do you want to plug?
On Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, all the usual places, Steam, I'm at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm TheKush3, so you better use that fast, because this is the only time you'll ever see me online playing anything for a while. And then in like a few weeks, you'll never see me on there ever again. So get those invites in quick. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast and the other one I do, called the Pixelated Sausage Podcast, because I'm great at titling things, and that one I just talk about video games, anime, movies, whatever, and I just randomly release episodes when I feel like, oh, I have something to talk about, and that's just me, so fucking, I don't know why you even bother listening and why people do, but people do, and yeah, I don't know, if you like art, and kooky weird art, you can check it out at pxsart.com, where you can see a bunch of stuff and get links to places to order prints and all that jazz.
And also, don't forget to watch Mark stream Persona. Oh, wait. You can't.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't care. I'm not going to. I never stream anything on the PS4 anyway. And that's not a game I would ever want to stream. Because I'm not going to. If I was streaming that, like, whatever, that whole controversy, I don't fucking give a shit.
Rich, you didn't hear that?
Nope.
The moment you start Persona 5 on the PS4, you get a message that says,
"Oh yeah, I did hear that.
You're blocked from Twitch
streaming." Danger, danger.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay. Well, you know, as soon as this cutscene's over, I'll be able to show people I played that game for 30 minutes online and realize that at no point does it ever stop telling you that.
Atlas understands how the internet works, right?
No, they don't. Them and Nintendo. Also,
the thing that I don't know if you can turn this off and notifications or whatever. You know, they can tell me, you know, I can not stream it. Fine. Stop telling me I can't stream it. I don't want that shit cluttering my screen and getting in the way of like that happened when I was watching a cutscene. I'm like, you know what? I want to watch the cutscene. Get your stupid fucking notification out of my face. Okay?
I think you can actually go into settings and turn that off.
There has to be, because I keep getting those things. Like, you know, when I boot it up, like, you can. I'm like, I don't care. Just get out of my face.
I'm 100% sure you can do that, because there's a lot of those. There's a lot of settings for turning off notifications on that side.
Probably, but I don't mess around with the settings because I never use my PS4.
Also, it's nice that I can actually now use my PS4 the way I want to by having a side drive. So, you know, an external hard drive. That's nice.
Yeah, that is nice. I didn't get one because I'm like, I'm still not going to use this thing. Right, I can install more games on it that I never play.
Also, I want to talk about Pixelated Paranormal. Come listen to that.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Yeah, Rich is not afraid of no ghost.
I wasn't done with plugging.
Oh, I thought you were done. I'm sorry.
No, just the one thing.
Rob says you're done.
For the site in general, well, I'm the one who ultimately says if anything's done, because I am the ruler over everything.
The overlord.
If you'd like to support the site and this podcast and Pixelated Paranormal and Pixelated House Podcast and all the shit we do, you can go over to patreon.com/PXS and become a patron.
All right, cool. Kush Jong-un?
Well, fucking whatever.
Kush Jong-un. I just got what you tried to do there. Good try.
That's not a good try.
I know. Kush Jong-un.
So, anyway, that's going to be it for the show.
Yeah, good place to stop.
I'll just tell you, Rob, you know, keep your eye on any... You know, young Asian women with little, like, napkins in their hands.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, my God.
I'm saying I'm going to have you assassinated.
Oh, just like Kim Jong-un did?
His half-brother.
Right, his half-brother.
Okay, now I get it. I didn't hear the story how he was assassinated, so yeah. I didn't know. So, okay. I knew he had been assassinated, but I didn't know how.
If they go to give you a kiss and they want to cup your face in their hands, don't
it's been
do
so
it.
Long, it might be
I know, it happens all the time, Rob, I know, but just try to... Just try
fuck
to,
you,
try
Rich! To get... I don't need your sarcasm.
See, now he's turning against
you,
too.
Dude, why you say... By the way, my wife thinks you are very charismatic. I was like, Rob?
Yeah, she's like, Rob, who?
She's like, yeah, Rob's really charismatic. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to tell him you said that. She's like, go ahead. I almost forgot to tell you that. You're charismatic, Rob.
I don't get it, but okay. Thanks, I guess.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just passing it on, man.
That's cool. I like to be known. Honestly, I do get that sometime. It's just that I don't have the looks to back it up. I need to raise that, and that's not a skill in Persona, apparently.
Well, I didn't say all that, man. I'm just saying what I said, man. You know, that's...
her literal words were, you know what? He's pretty fly for a white guy.
Nah. My wife doesn't get down like that. He would just be pretty fly. Period.
Question mark.
She's all about the humanity.
Exclamation points.
All right, guys, that's going to be it for the show. Everybody, have a good evening.
All right. Later, guys. Play Mass Effect.
Then you won't have a good evening.